பத்ரம் கண்ணே பிஸ்ருணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஸ்துஷ்டுவாகும் சஸ்தனுபிஹி வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதையதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நைந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீதி சத்ருவேத சாந்தி பாட்டா. We never get tired of reciting it because it's a very important prayer. And then only until we complete this Mundaka Upanishad will be reciting this. If we take up some other Upanishad, we will change Shanti Mantra also. That is why without any hesitation, we must chant. Okay. And so we should forget the Mundaka Upanishad in the first chapter for introduces Paravidya, Aparavidya, then elaborated on the Aparavidya. That's all. Then the only second chapter, second Mundaka, both sections, Paravidya is taken for discussion. And in the first Paravidya, how it is presented, in the first section, Upanishad first introduces the Karanakarya Prakriya, always said to be Srishti Prakriya, the method of unfoldment of the nature of the reality, by presenting it reality as the cause of the universe. Jagat Karanam. And here, the Srishti Prakriya differs from Upanishad to Upanishad. Because Srishti, there is no real creation. Therefore, Upanishad is not at all interested in making us understand the creation. But Upanishad, the discussion of creation is only to help us arrive at what the reality is. Therefore, in every Upanishad, the Prakriya, the Srishti, subject matter of creation, the analysis of creation differs from Upanishad to Upanishad. Okay? Let's not forget this. Now we are still seeing how this elaborate discussion on the creation, how everything comes from Brahman, everything comes from Brahman, everything comes from Brahman. And we've been seeing, last class we have seen, how even the jivas originate from Brahman. And by way of making us understand the fact that all the jivas also have originated from Brahman, that it was said how the jivas actually come into this world. The Panchagni Vidya also was mentioned in the last class. We have seen that. What is Panchagni Vidya? How the individual being going through different stages finally is born in this world, assuming a human or any other body. Okay, now the Srishti continues. So let's not forget, the Srishti Prakriya continues. The method of analysis, arriving at the reality through the analysis of the creation. So we're going to read this. So by presenting one after the other, what Upanishad wants to state is, this absolute reality alone is given the status of the Lord, status of being the Lord, Ishwaraha. And at Ishwara, from Ishwara, everything has come into existence. This is the fact we must continuously remember throughout, until the Srishti Prakriya comes to an end. Now please understand, now we are seeing the Srishti Prakriya of Mundaka Upanishad. This elaborate Prakriya is presented elaborately. So, Bhagavan is the absolute cause of everything. Let us read mantras once so that we will remember. So, Mundaka Upanishadi. Mundaka Upanishadi. Vitiya Mundake Prathamaha Kandaha. Yatha Sudeeptat Pavakad Vispulingaha. சஹஸ்ரஷ ப்ரபவந்தே ஸரூபாஹ ததாக்ஷரா த்விவிதா ஸோம்ய பாவாஹ ப்ரஜாயந்தே தத்ர சைவாபியந்தி. The Srishti Prakriya, the method of revealing Brahman through the analysis of creation begins from this first mantra. It goes throughout. Okay, next. Divyo hyamurtav purushasya bahya divyo hyamurtav purushah sabahya bhyantaro hyajah aprano hyamana shubhro hyaksharat paratav parah etasmat jayate pranah manas sarvendriyani cha kham vayujyotirapav prithivi vishvasya dharini Agnirmurdha chakshushi chandra soryo Dishashrotre vagvritascha vedah Vayuh prano hridayam vishvamasya Vishvam asya padbhyam Vayuh prano hridayam vishvam asya padbhyam Prithivihesha sarvabhotantaratma Tasmadagnis samidhoyasya soryah Somat parjanya oshadayav prithivyam, pumanretas sinchati yoshitayam, bahvih prajav purushat samprasotah. Until this fifth mantra we have seen. So the entire virat has come, all the elements have come, elementals have come, the entire grass universe has come, even all the 14 worlds have come from Brahman, and which you have seen now. And all the praja, all the living beings also have come into existence from Brahman. And having stated that, now Upanishad says, when Bhagavan brought these living beings into the world, and naturally they all need to be given the manual to understand how to live their lives. Therefore, even the Veda Shastram has come from Bhagavan. That is said in the sixth mantra. So Bhagavan is the ultimate source of all knowledge. There's no second other source of knowledge. Bhagavan is the ultimate source of knowledge. And Bhagavan is another than the reality. So reality is of the nature of knowledge. That's also made very clear by saying even all the Vedas have come into existence from Brahman. Let us see the sixth mantra now. Tasmadruchasamayajugamshidikshah Yajnyascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha Yajnyascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokah Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokah Somo yatra pavate yatra suryah Somo yatra pavate yatra suryah Tasmadruchasamayajugamshidikshah Yajnyascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha Yajnyascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokah Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokah Somo yatra pavate yatra suryah Somo yatra pavate yatra suryah Tasmadruchasamayajugamshidikshah Yajnyascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha Samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokah Somo yatra pavate yatra suryah Okay, this is the now, even now, still the srishti continues. The srishti continues, the creation, the topic of creation, the analysis of the creation still continues. Stating everything has come into existence from Brahman. And now in this verse, in this mantra, sixth mantra of the first mundaka, sorry, first section, first khanda of the second mundaka, Upanishad says, all the the entirety of this Shastram, mainly the Veda Shastram, also has evolved from Paramatma, Brahman. If you look at this, Tasmad Richaha Sama Yajumshi Dikshaha Diksha Yajnaha Cha Starve Kratavaha Dakshinascha Samvatsarascha Yajamanascha Lokaha. So Mahayatra Pavate Yatra Suryaha. This is the mantra. I'll explain to you the meanings. See, when Bhagavan brought the human beings into existence, okay, let's understand. Now, human beings also have evolved from Bhagavan. Then naturally, there is responsibility, okay, as it were, on the part of Bhagavan, to give some appropriate, Bhagavan has to provide appropriate things for the human beings to live in the world. Because why human beings alone are said to be the most sophisticated of all the living creatures? Why? Because human beings alone are blessed with the free will. No? Perfectly expressed free will only human beings are blessed with. So here, the human beings have got free will, but still, even though the people are blessed with the free will, the free will may not be. Human beings are capable of expressing their free will. All jivas do have free will, but they're incapable of expressing their free will. All other beings, having other physical bodies, are incapable of expressing their free will. Whereas human beings alone are blessed with the physical system that they're able to express their free will. So animals and plants, they do have free, but they're not able to express their free will. Only a human body is something conducive for the full expression of the free will. We mean the free will can be functional perfectly well only in a human physical body. Therefore, because we're able to exercise the free will, we also are blessed with the faculty of choice. We can choose to do what we want to do. We can choose to refrain from what we need not and what we do not want to do also. That is why the human beings are blessed with four purusharthas. See, no animal has something called purushartha. See, no, what is the ultimate purpose of living your life? You can't go and talk to an elephant or a lion or a dog or a cat. What purushartha? Okay. There's no such a thing called end, ultimate human goal, ultimate goal of life. Ultimate goal of life, the relative goals of life, ultimate goal of life, such goals animals do not have. And because of our capacity to exercise our will, we alone have got something called goals, ends in our lives. And our ends are beautifully analyzed and presented as four apurusharthas: Arthaha, Kamaha, Dharmaha, and Mokshaha. And Dharma is always said to be, is presented as the first in the order, because Artha, in terms of, okay, whatever we need to live this life. So in order to live this life, we need Artha. And while living this life, we need to have some joy. So pleasure also is a must. But this Artha and Kama are these two Purusharthas in terms of Whatever we need to have some basic needs for security and enjoyments, even though they're all important and for living this life, and these artha kamas must be pursued definitely only in conformity with dharma. That is the only way a human being can prepare his mind ultimately for jnanam. The preparation is possible. Therefore, it is said, dharma is always placed first. Artha kamas must be pursued for living this life in conformity with dharma, ultimately for accomplishing moksha. And this is how our purusharthas are there. Therefore, dharma is always placed first. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These are the four purusharthas who only human beings have got because of our capacity to exercise our free will. And therefore, human beings alone are also blessed with the phenomenon called desire, ichha. Therefore, and because the human being is blessed with the phenomenon called desire, there is the Bhagavan in the form of universal law and order has to create some provision for the fulfillment of all the desires of human beings. Therefore, if animal has a desire, animal's desires are fulfilled just by doing things as instructed by its own instincts. Therefore, there's no specific desire for anything on the part of animals except eating, and reproducing, etc. It has to eat, it has to sleep, and it has to reproduce. This is the main activities of an animal. So animal is blessed with the natural instincts to fulfill those, blessed with the capacity to live its own life. Therefore, no such a thing called planning for this year, planning for next year, planning for the future life. Okay, such a thing is not there on the part of animals. But here, Bhagavan blesses the humanity with something called Shastram. And Shastram is for the sake of accomplishment of all human desires. Okay? Bhagavan has blessed the humanity with something called Shastram, Veda Shastram, specifically for the accomplishment of all requirements of the human being. Okay? And Swamiji used to say, if we go to IKEA, we buy anything there, whatever gadget, whatever thing, object we buy there, and along with that, the shopkeeper will send with us a manual to know how to make the best use of that thing we buy from the shop. Similarly, Bhagavan also thought Veda Shastram was given like a human manual so that human being will know how to maintain his body, mind and complex, how to live his life, how to make the best use of this human life, okay, enjoying this special human body, mind and complex. Therefore, the Veda Shastram itself is for our own betterment, our own upliftment, for fulfillment of all our desires. So we say, that's why the very word Shastra, many times I mentioned it before, Shasti iti Shastram. Shasti means that which governs. The Shastram governs our way of life. Thereby Shastram protects us. Shastanath trayate iti Shastram. Shastram is protection for us. If we understand the way of life enjoined by the Shastram, and if we follow that way of life enjoined by the Shastram, having faith in the words of the Shastram, definitely we are well protected, well taken care of. That is why Shastram also is known as Mata, Shruti Mata, because just as mother takes care of the children, whoever follows, understands the Vedic way of life and lives that Vedic way of life, definitely 100%, 200%, the person becomes protected, emotionally well protected. Okay, relatively a person will be protected in the initially, and finally the person will be absolutely also protected emotionally. There's no greater protection than, okay, protecting one's mind from fear. And Veda Shastram provides everything that a human being needs for his sense of, for his fulfillment, for the fulfillment of all one's emotional needs, okay, all one's desires. Okay. Now the question comes, okay, what is that Shastram that Bhagavan has given us? So in this mantra it is said, Rigyajus Sama. Can read the mantra. I just introduced mantra first, okay? Tasmadrucha Samayajugam Shidiksha Yajnascha Sarve Kratavo Dakshinascha Samvatsarascha Yajamanascha Lokaha Somo Yatra Pavate Yatra Suryaha. Now let us understand the meaning of this mantra. So, sa ruchaha. Rik means one Rigveda mantra. Ruchaha means all mantras which constitute Rigveda are known as ruchaha. Ruchaha means all the mantras which constitute Rigveda are known as ruchaha. Then Sama, Samaveda. Then Yajumshi. Yajumshi means again, Yajush means one Yajurveda mantra. Yajumshi also, all mantras which constitute the Yajurveda are known as Yajumshi. So Ruchaha, Sama, Yajumshi means what? The entirety of the Rigveda, Yajurveda and Samaveda. Actually speaking, initially, this only Veda is only one text. Vedaha is the whole huge voluminous book. The text is Veda Shastra. And only later on, it was Vyasa Bhagavan who really they classified them into four as Vedas. But still, this classification is already there in the Upanishad itself. So Rig Vedaha, Yajur Vedaha, Sama Vedaha. Taking these names only, Vyasa must have classified them. Anyway. So it is said, and only three Vedas are mentioned. What about the Atharvana Veda? So we are supposed to include Atharvana Veda also. Atharvana Veda or Atharva Veda. In fact, the Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, which you are studying now, itself belongs to what? Atharvana Veda. Okay, Atharva Veda Upanishad or Atharvana Vediya Upanishad. So four Vedas. Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharvana Veda. Okay, we have to understand there are rituals, many rituals, fire rituals are prescribed in the Veda Shastram. And those rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, of course we know the Vedas have three parts as Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Three sections are there. In the Karma Kanda of all the Vedas, Karma Kanda is the big portion of the Veda Shastram. The small portion of the small part of the Veda Shastram actually is Jnana Kanda. And in this big portion of the Karma Kanda of the Vedas, there are many, many rituals prescribed for the accomplishment of the desires, worldly, mundane desires. Okay. And those accomplishment of the worldly desires or fulfillment of mundane desires alone are known as ihaloka phalani. The results accomplish, enjoyable, the results of rituals prayers, worship, etc., enjoyable in this world are known as ihaloka phalani. And there are also many fire rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda, not only for the enjoyment, accomplishment of the pleasures, worldly desire, fulfillment of the worldly desires, but also for accomplishment of desires in terms of enjoyment of pleasures in higher lokas after the death. There are also many rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda specifically for accomplishing desires which can be fulfilled after the death by going to higher lokas. So a person has to perform rituals while living in this world, and he has to accumulate punyam. And as a result of that punyam, after the paradha gets exhausted, when a person leaves his physical body, then he can go to higher lokas, enjoy those pleasures. So there are people who are interested in accomplishing those pleasures also. Therefore, there are rituals for such people also. Karmakanda prescribes such rituals also, which can be performed now, and the results of which can be enjoyed later in higher lokas after the death. Okay. Now, apart from them, there are also rituals performing which, the result of which will enable the individual to go to higher loka, always known as Swarga Lokaha, through dark path meant to Krishna Gatihi or Dhumayana, Krishna Gatihi, a dark path. It means this dark path, Krishna Gatihi, is said to be the path which takes a jiva, which we cannot see through physical eyes, which takes a jiva to higher loka known as Swarga Lokaha. And there are certain rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda by performing which specifically a person can earn punyam to go to Swarga Loka, okay, even in next life also. And apart from these specific fire rituals known as Vaidika Karmani, there are also meditations, special upasanani meditations prescribed in the upasana kanda of the Veda Shastram, and practicing those upasanas along with the performance of rituals, a person can accumulate more punyam, that he will be able to go through much higher loka or even Brahma loka or Satya loka through solar path. Okay, the lunar path is dark path, and the solar path is Shukla Gatihi. It is called, a person who performs rituals along with the practice of upasam can travel through solar path, Shukla Gatihi. He can go to much higher loka, called Brahma Loka also. Like this. So the person who is inclined to do karma, who is interested in enjoying the pleasures of this world as well as pleasures of the higher worlds, who is interested in accumulating artha kamas of this world as well as the worlds above, such a person is a karmi, means a performer of an action, performer of rituals, can travel through solar path or lunar path, or Krishna, are known as Krishna Gatihi or Shukla Gatihi, you can go to Swarga Loka or Brahma Loka, higher lokas. And it is, Veda Shastram does discuss about some amazing, extraordinarily enjoyable pleasures of the higher lokas. Okay. Higher loka means in Swarga Loka. And there are much greater enjoyable, extraordinarily enjoyable sense pleasures in Brahmaloka. Therefore, this all Shastram discusses. We do not know anything what is in the Veda Shastram. So we do not get carried away by those, I want to buy this. Now repeatedly our televisions do not advertise about what is available in Swarga. So we do not know. So we do not know what is available in Swarga. We do not know what it is. Therefore, we do not have any desire for such pleasures also. So people who are exposed to the Veda Shastram and they know, so that's how people have also desire for such pleasures. And apart from this enjoyment of pleasures enjoyable in this world and the high world, worlds above, Shastram also prescribes rituals for longest life. How a person can live a long life. Of course, maximum span of life we can't exceed. So life in higher lokas is relatively a much, much, much longer life than life in this world of human beings. I do not know, Veda Shastram says. Okay, all that is now discussed in this mantra. Let us see. And all these things are implied by this words of this mantra. Now, one more word you come across is Dikshaha. Okay, Dikshaha. See the word Dikshaha. Diksha means what? Dakshina. It's the Diksha which we get something else. Here the word Diksha, in the word Dikshaha in this mantra means Vratams. Vratams means some vows. The word Dikshaha means vows. Vows means what? Certain vratams means certain vows which should be observed along with the which must be observed by the person who also performs rituals. So dikshaha are vows which should be the vratams which should be observed by a person who performs rituals. Which means certain vratams are in conformity with certain vratams are prescribed for certain rituals. Which means in performing the certain rituals, we have to follow the rules and regulations, the stipulations pertaining to that particular ritual. Which means there is a rule, there is a regulation, there is a protocol. What time the person should get up in the morning and what time the person should do this particular japa and when he must finish it, he must finish it at the time of sunrise, etc. Then rules are there. And then, when should the person get up, when should the person eat, and when should the person, even he finish his morning duties, in going to the toilet, bathroom, etc., we should not be going in between. So there's a discipline. A person must follow discipline, strictly. So he must be clean, etc. Those things are also, this is all vratam only. It means a person definitely must eat only when he completes his ritual. He can't eat and go and do the puja. I mean, don't do the ritual. That is why they do very early in the morning. So they don't need to wait. They don't wait for the puja to start at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So they do very early in the morning. They won't be hungry. So they can do, they complete, only then they can eat. Therefore, even observing fasting is what upavasaha is also. Karmanga is a part of the ritual. Observing the upavasa, the fasting is a discipline a vrittam which goes along with the ritual. And sometimes, if until people complete one particular program of rituals for some time, they will have to shower every day, but even they're not supposed to even shave. And such rituals, now such vrattams, vows, the disciplines which should be followed in conformity with the rituals they have to do are known as, vrattams are known as dikshaha in this mantra. Okay, which means vrattams. And those vrattams are also prescribed in the Veda Shastram. And next, if we see, yajnaha sarve kratavaha. Yajnaha. Next, take the word yajnaha. So, yajnaha, yagaha, kratuhu. All these words mean the ritual. So, fire ritual. The performance of a ritual. Kindling the fire. When a ritual is performed, kindling the fire is a fire ritual. Agni karyam. So, yajnaha. So, yajnaha kratavaha. So, kratuhu is a singular word. Kratavaha, plural. Okay, kratuhu is singular. Kratavaha, plural. Yajnaha and kratavaha. Two types of rituals. What are the yajnaha? What are the kratavaha? What is yajnaha? What is kratuhu? So, the forms, a form of worship prescribed by the Veda Shastram is called actually yajnaha. Yajnaha. And these rituals also, these yajnas, the fire rituals also, prescribed by the Shruti, and prescribed by the Smriti also. What is Smriti? Smriti means, the Smriti, we have many texts known as Smriti Granthaha. The Smriti Granthas also teach exactly what Veda Shastram teaches. Veda is a Shruti. Veda is known as Shruti. And Veda, known as Shruti, is the original text. And the Smriti is something written by other Acharyas. So Veda Shastram is a timeless original scripture, original Shastram, and which is said to have come from Bhagavan himself. Whereas the Smriti Granthas, they teach the same object matter of Veda Shastram, but without any distortion or deviation, but they are written by other Acharyas who have understood the Veda Shastram thoroughly. So we have Shruti Granthaha and Smriti Granthaha. Okay. And the rituals which have been prescribed by in the Shruti are known as Shrauta Karmani. And the rituals prescribed by the Smriti are known as Smartha Karmani. Shrauta, Shruti Sambandha Karmani, Shrauta Karmani. Smriti Sambandha Karmani, Smartha Karmani. Even today we have Shrautihal, we say. Some people are giving surname. Shrauta, then Smartha. Okay? Shrauta Karmani, Smartha Karmani are nothing but say rituals prescribed by the Smriti Granthaha and Shruti, Karma Kanda of the Veda Shastra. So, only when a person at the age of 7 or 9, when a child is initiated into the study of the Shastram, in the Gayatri Japa, When a person is given this sacred thread known as Yajna Upavita Karma. The Yajna Upavita Karma is done for a child. That is how the child becomes eligible to start his Vedic Shastra study. Okay? So then the person, only after a person gets married, person becomes eligible to perform certain rituals. As a brahmachari, until one gets married, one is not eligible to perform many rituals. Very few rituals a brahmachari can perform. That is why even today, the temple archakas, the person who does the main priest of the temple must be definitely a married person. He must be a married person, a grihastha. The unmarried bachelors, okay, the young boys and all, they can help doing other things. But they're not eligible to be a priest. Okay. That's the rule here. Anyway, this is all part of the Karmakanda information. As part of the Karmakanda thing, I'm just adding you these things, adding all this information in my teaching. So only after when a person is initiated into the Gayatri Japa on a day of Yajna Upavita Karma, then the person having the sacred thread is said to be eligible to study the Vedashastram. That is why before that, one is not supposed to study Vedashastram. Therefore, the first initiation into the study of the Shastram also is known as what? Diksha. That is Diksha. But I told you the word Dikshaha in this mantra means Vratams. Vratams means vows. Then Upanishad also mentioned this mantra. The next word mentioned is what? Dakshinaha. Dakshina. Tasmadrucha samaya yogam shidiksha yajnascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha. Next is dakshina. Dakshinaha. Dakshinaha. See, dakshina is a gift which should be given to the priest. And the dakshina is something very important in this tradition, Vedic tradition, because there are these Vedikas, Vedikaha, I mean, who have studied the Vedashastram, have Shraddha in the Shastram, who revere Shastram, and who live their lives also in conformity with this Vedic teaching, and they are Vedikaha. And those Vedikas alone are here, have the status of being the priests. And those priests are the people who perform these rituals. Therefore, they must be given dakshinaha. And what should be the dakshina? Originally, dakshina was in the form of a gold coin also. Okay. Therefore, when we say dakshina can be in any form, dakshina can be given in the form of gold, can be given, silver can be given, clothes can be given, food can be given, even some piece of land can be given, cow can be given. So as dakshina, many things can be given, money also can be given. Okay. Like there are so many different forms of dakshinas which can be given to the priests who perform the rituals, you know, as gifts. Because for that, it's important. Because they dedicate their lives to study, to live, to serve. Therefore, their lives are taken care of by giving dakshina. Now, dakshinas are not given to simply make them big. Dakshinas are given for them to live their life. It's as livelihood also. So we give dakshina with the reverence. Dakshinaha. That also has come from Bhagavan only. It is not something which we created. It is part of the Vedic teaching. Therefore, it has come from Bhagavan only. Dakshinaha. Then Upanishad says, Samvatsaraha. Samvatsaraha is a, Samvatsaraha means year. Okay, Y-E-A-R, year. So the word Samvatsaraha meaning year Actually, here implies the time factor. The samvatsaraha meaning year implies the time factor, kalatattvam. The time factor, how do we understand the time factor? The time actually is, the time is determined based on the sunrise and sunset. So we're very much dependent on Surya Bhagavan. Now, to understand who alone governs our time factor. It is sun who governs this time factor. And we have day, we have night, and this time, the time governed by the sun. It's called the solar, following the solar system. Then the time factor governed by the moon also. And we have here the moon means we take the dark moon day or a new moon day as Amavasya and the full moon day as a Purnima, and we calculate the days in between. Okay, Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, first day, second day. So first day after new moon, second day after new moon, third day after new moon. Like this time is calculated. The days are taken. Again, after full moon, again first day after full moon, second day after full moon, Prathama, Dvitiya. And the day is called date in Vedic calendar, date of Vedic calendar is called Tithihi. Tithihi. So the time factor. So we say the Samvatsaraha literally meaning year stands for the Kalaha, the time factor, okay, determined by taking sun rise and sunset into account. This is, then, Yajamanaha. I'm not elaborating on time factor, the whole time factor we have. Then Yajamanaha, you know, we have Pancha Angas, okay, five Angas we have. This we call Panchangaha. Those things are also taken into account. All of them have come from Bhagavan only. Then we say Yajamanaha. Yajamanaha is Yajate Shanat Shabda. Okay? Shanat Chanta Shabda Yajamanaha. Yajate worships. Yajamanaha worshipper. The worshipping person is Yajamanaha. So, the Yajamanaha also has come from Bhagavan means what? Yajamanaha is the performer of the ritual. And he is supposed to have unflinching faith in the Veda Shastram. So Yajamanaha, the performer of a ritual, cannot perform a ritual. He is not eligible to perform a ritual if he does not have Shraddha in the Shastram. Why? Any ritual performed without Shraddha in the Shastram will not produce results, will not be effective. Therefore, the person who accepts the Veda Shastram, having Shraddha, faith in the teachings of the Veda Shastram, or who lives the Vedic way of life enjoined by the Shastram strictly, alone is known as Vaidikaha, as I already said. And Yajamanaha, the performer of the ritual, he is a Vaidikaha. Yajamanaha, so he is also what? Not outside of Bhagavan, he also has come from Bhagavan only. Then next is what? Shraddha. Where has Shraddha come from? Shraddha is nothing but unflinching faith. Total faith. We have faith in so many things. But here Shraddha means faith in the teachings of the Veda Shastra means Shraddha. Why? Because A Vaidika, in fact, in India we say, any Indian is supposed to say, originally, Indian means a Hindu. And the Hindu means the one who has faith in the Shastra. Why? Because he is a Vaidika. A faith in the Shastra means the person who has faith in the Shastra accepts the teaching. The one who accepts the teaching, lives the teaching, follows the way of life enjoined by the Shastra. If he follows the way of life enjoined by the Shastra, naturally, he 100% he is supposed to be living a life in conformity with universal values. And for him, Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal. Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal. Moksha becomes the ultimate goal. Jnanam becomes the ultimate goal. Then, Arthakamas are pursued by this person in conformity with Dharma, prayerfully, worshipfully. So this person has reverence for life, reverence for all the lives, reverence for everything in the world. So it means the person lives a life of Dharma. Such a person is a Vaidika. Okay. And only then life becomes a meaningful life. That is why Shraddha is very important. If a person does not have Shraddha in the Shastram, then if Purusharthas are not very clear for him, if Jnana does not become a goal for this person, definitely the person not knowing the value of Dharma, if Artha Kamas alone becomes ultimate goals means, he will not know how to manage his emotions at all. It's impossible for a human being to manage one's emotions unless he knows the value of Dharma. Unless he knows Artha Kamas only relative ends. Therefore, that Shraddha Rahitaha Purushaha, the person who does not have Shraddha cannot know the value of Dharma and cannot live a life of Dharma. And for him, Artha Kamas will become the ultimate goals. Then his life will be a difficult life. In the sense, then the person's life will never become a complete life. Okay? There's no way of progressing oneself spiritually or religiously. And a person who does not have Shraddha in the Shastram cannot be religious, cannot be spiritual at all. Definitely. Because when does the person become spiritual? Only when a person has the ultimate goal being moksha and his jnana. If a person does not have the Purushartha Nischaya, then definitely, then he cannot have, make his life complete life. So Shraddha is very, very, very important. So Shraddha. Then, also, Shastram talks about the lokas. Lokaha. What the next word? See the next word now. Tasma ducha samaya jogum shiddiksha yajnascha sarve kratavo dakshinascha samvatsarascha yajamanascha lokaha. Now we move on to the word lokaha. So lokaha, all the worlds also have come into existence from Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And our Shastram talks about the chaturdasha lokaha, chaturdasha bhuvanani. So, the entirety of the cosmos consists of 14 lokas. There's no 15th loka. There are only 14 lokas, 7 above, 7 below. And the 6 above, we are the 7th and the 7 below also. We have no clue about the worlds above, worlds below. Even we do not have any clue about the world where we are totally. You know, Shastram talks about those lokas. So we say highest of the 14 worlds is Brahmaloka. And the lowest of the worlds we have the Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala. We have so many worlds below also. And here, having mentioned that, all the lokas. And this is Swargaha, okay? There is we have higher loka called Swargaloka and also Brahmalokaha. And these two lokas are mentioned here specifically. Why? Because so mahayatra pavate. This the mantra, there's a mention, so mahayatra pavate. So the word yatra means swargalokaha. heaven. Somaha pavate. Somaha pavate means bad. Somaha means chandraha, the moon. So somaha means chandraha, the moon. Pavate. Pavate means where the moon is the moon is the devata who illumines. So the world where moon illumines, where moon is the devata, and that loka is Swargalokaha. And Swargalokaha, the heaven, is also known as Somalokaha. We have Somalokaha, we have Suryalokaha also. So Swargaha, where Soma is the illuminator, is known as Somalokaha. Then we also have Suryaha. And there is a world where Surya illumines. Surya, Surya Bhagavan illumines. So Chandra Devata and Surya Devata, these two devatas illumine the respective worlds. The world illumined by the sun is called Brahmalokaha. Yatra Suryaha Pavate, Surya Pavate. The world which is illumined by the sun, where Surya, the world of Surya is called Brahmalokaha. The world of moon is Somalokaha. Therefore, please understand different Upanishads have different names also. But here, please understand the word Suryaha, the world where sun illumines, sun purifies, sun resides, is known as Brahmalokaha. And the world which is where the moon illuminates, that world is Somalokaha. And Suryaloka alone is known as Suryalokaha is called Brahmalokaha. And Chandralokaha or Somalokaha is known as Swargalokaha. Swargalokaha is equal to Somalokaha. Brahmalokaha is equal to Suryalokaha. And these two are the highest of all the lokas. Okay. Highest is Brahmaloka, then Somaloka. The rest are below these two worlds. So, when we read this Upanishad, the question might come, are there really 14 worlds? Are there really 14 worlds? See, if we accept Vedashastram as the Pramana Granthaha, we can accept as there are 14 worlds. Just because I do not know, I have not seen them, I cannot deny what Vedashastram says. Because there's no way of disproving what Veda says. At the same time, there's no way of verifying also what Veda says. Therefore, we take it as a matter for belief. Okay? So Veda Shastram says, so I believe, I take it. All these lokas are definitely existent. Even because this instruments of knowledge, we are blessed with them, we are only capable of experiencing this. One Bhuloka itself, we cannot experience the whole of Bhuloka. We have our limitations. We are able to experience objects within the realm of this, only this world, the world of human beings, the world of mortals. There's no way of experiencing the lokas above or lokas below with our limited means of knowledge. So just because we are not able to experience them, we cannot deny they do not exist at all. Nor can we definitely argue they are definitely existent. Because we cannot prove, nor can we disprove their existence. Therefore, we respectfully, with reverence for Vedashastram, let us accept. Okay. Now what says, all these have come into existence from Bhagavan. Please understand, we are still in the Prakriya. The Upanishad slowly makes us understand that everything in this world has come from Brahma, Bhagavan. And this is not real teaching of creation. This is only a prakriya, the method of helping us arrive at what exactly the reality Brahman is, Bhagavan is, from whom Upanishad says this everything has come into existence from. Next mantra. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayamsi. See, only when this creation, the topic of creation will come to an end, then we are going to understand how to understand this teaching. Until that, let's read now. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayamsi. Pranapano vrihiyavo tapascha. Shraddha satyam brahmacharyam vidhischa. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayamsi. Pranapano vrihiyavo tapascha. Shraddha satyam brahmacharyam vidhischa. Tasmaccha deva bahudha samprasutaha. Sadhya manushya pashavo vayamsi. Pranapano vrihiyayo tapascha. Shraddha satyam brahmacharyam vidhischa. Okay. Now we are seeing the seventh mantra. In the seventh mantra, Upanishad continues the srishti, the discussion on creation. And here, now having said all the Vedas, yajnaha, all the rituals, yajamanaha, dakshina, everything has come from a Brahman. Having talked about things pertaining to the rituals, now Upanishad says, tasmat cha, okay, from that Brahman alone, what? Devaha, all devas have come into existence. See, please remember one thing. It is not possible for the Upanishad to give a huge list of all that are here in this world. And if this has come from, the sand has come, salt has come, that everything Upanishad cannot give. Upanishad cannot give a huge list of all the things that are here in the world. But what can Upanishad do? Upanishad can only here present a small list of significantly assorted objects. Okay, a list of significantly assorted things can be given by the Upanishad. That's what Upanishad is doing. Okay, just remember. So, tasmat samprasutaha. So, suta, prasuta, samprasuta. Okay, sampra are prefixes. Suta is a participle. Suta, prasuta, samprasuta. What does it mean? All are born. Samprasutaha born. Tasmat samprasutaha means all are born. What are all born? Devaha. Tasmat means whom? Tasmat is a relative pronoun. From him. From that. Tasmat means from that or from him. You take it as from that, you can say from that Brahman. Or if you say from him means what? From that Bhagavan. From that Antaryami Ishwaraha. Or Karana Ishwaraha. From that absolute reality endowed with the creative power known as Maya, from the Bhagavan, okay, things are born. What are all born here? Now he says, not only human beings, Devaha, all celestial beings are born. The celestials also, see, love, how human beings are also, many categories. Human beings of different categories, in a sense, human beings means what? Human, we say Indians, Americans, Africans, we have so many. Now there's a differentiation, okay? The differentiation of human beings based on the nationality, cultural background, etc. Similarly here, even there is a categorization of the celestial beings. So Bahudha means there also the celestial beings of different categories. Samprasutaha, they're all born. Who are they? Sadhyaha. Sadhyaha is a specific group of celestials. Manushyaha, then human beings. Okay. And then Pashavaha, then animals. Vayamsi, birds. They all have come into existence. So, Vayamsi means birds. So, different categories of devas, celestial beings, then human beings, then animals, Pashavaha, Pashuhu means cow, Pashuhu means any animal also. Pashavaha, all animals. Vayamsi, Vayas means bird. Sakaranta Shabda. So Vayamsi means birds. Okay, not only this, then Prana Apanau. Pranaha Apanaha. Here, the Prana Apana, please make a note, they do not have the convention, regular meaning. The word Prana and Apana here means hunger and thirst. Okay? Hunger and thirst are known as Prana Apana. So even hunger and thirst came from Bhagavan only. Hunger and thirst. Once hunger and thirst come, we need what? Water and food we need. So, Vrihi Yayau. Now, all the living beings of various levels, celestial beings, human beings, animals, birds, they all came. Then, along with them, hunger and thirst also came. All these beings have this hunger and thirst. Not only human beings, animals have hunger and thirst, celestials have hunger and thirst, human beings also have hunger and thirst. Birds have hunger and thirst. They have. When hunger and thirst came, Bhagavan has to somehow help us with appeasing our hunger and quenching our thirst. Therefore, Bhagavan also brought what? Food. Therefore, the hunger and thirst have to be taken care of, for which we need the food, that is Vrihi Yayau. Prana Apanaha means what? Ashanaya Pipasa. Ashanaya means hunger. Pipasa means thirst. So Bhagavan also, but Vrihi Yayau. Yavau. Yavaha. Vrihi means rice. Vrihi actually means paddy. Tandula means rice. Vrihi means paddy. Okay, the rice with the husk is called Vrihi. Bhagavan created Vrihi, paddy. And Yavaha means barley. Don't ask, only Bhagavan has only created. Why did he create wheat? Okay, why not millet? Don't ask. Vrihi and Yavaha implies all forms of edible grains. All forms of edible food, edible things Bhagavan has created. That's the meaning. They all have come from Bhagavan. Vrihi yayo arupalakshanam, for all forms of food that we are eating today. Vrihi yayo. So Vrihi, Padi, Yavaha, Barley, they stand for all forms of edible, the food that we have today. All the food has come from Bhagavan. Then next, he says, Vrihiyo tapaha cha shraddha tapaha cha. Already mentioned about shraddha. No, tapaha. What is tapas? See, the tapas means austerity, penance. So tapas here means discipline. Any discipline strictly followed for maintaining the physical health as well as emotional wellness. Any discipline strictly followed for maintaining one's physical and emotional well-being is tapas. And maintaining emotional and physical health, well-being is ultimately for one preparing one's mind for the attainment of jnanam. Jnanam is for ultimately moksha. So tapas also becomes a spiritual discipline if we have purushartha nischaya. Without purushartha nischaya, not having jnanam Bhagavan as the ultimate goal, we simply follow any discipline. Tapas. It's not a spiritual discipline, then it doesn't become a discipline, it becomes a mere exercise. It can give some benefit, but we can't call it a tapas. So we have varieties of austerities or penance, they all come under the category of tapas only. Then Shraddha Satyam Brahmacharyam Vidhischa. See the next verse, next word after that. Shraddha Satyam Brahmacharyam Vidhischa. All this have come from Bhagavan. When Shraddha has come from Bhagavan, tapas has come from Bhagavan. So Shraddha, I've already mentioned it. If a person does not have Shraddha in the Veda Shastram, does not have Shraddha in Bhagavan, faith in Bhagavan, faith in Dharma, then it is impossible for a person to be a religious person, to be a spiritual person. Okay, because being religious, being spiritual, implies having Shraddha. And if a person is simply living in this world without being religious or without being spiritual means, then that person is only what? The person is a materialistic person. A person who is neither religious nor spiritual. A spiritual person will be naturally religious also. A religious person may be religious, may not be spiritual. But if a person is neither religious nor spiritual means, definitely his ends will be, he will be a materialistic person. Now, a person who is materialistic person means what? The spiritual person do pursue material ends also. The materialistic person does not pursue spiritual end. Therefore, the life becomes miserable life. Therefore, life will be only for earning, enjoying. Enjoyment is for earning. Earning is for enjoyment. Earning is for enjoyment. Life itself becomes only for the enjoyment of pleasures. If a person does not have Shraddha, faith, then his life will be lived only for the sake of enjoyment of pleasures. Maybe all types of pleasures. And then such a person's life will become life of an animal. Then we cannot call that person's life a human life. Okay. Therefore, Shraddha is very important. That Shraddha also has from Bhagavan only. Then satyam. Satyam. See, the word satyam means reality, the truth. But here the word satyam means the value of truthfulness in speech. So, following the value means living one's life in conformity with, in tune with the universal order, that is Bhagavan. Following the universal values is in fact living one's life in tune with universal order, that is Bhagavan. And living one's life in harmony with the universe, in tune with the order, means living one's life in harmony with the order, that is Bhagavan, means living one's life, okay, smoothly without any frictions, okay, living a lubricated, well lubricated, friction free, smooth life. So having lubricated, friction free, smooth interactions and transactions in this world. So frictions are not really good. Frictions cause heat. Frictions cause disputes. Frictions cause damage relationships. And friction equally disturbs the order. Therefore, it contributes for chaos, chaotic life. Therefore, if a person has to live a friction-free, lubricated, smooth life, having smooth interactions with the world and the nature, the beings, one must live one's life in tune with Bhagavan in the form of order, for which one has to follow the universal values strictly. And in Karma Yoga emphasizes there's no way of living a life of Karma Yoga without following this universal values. And Satyam is one of the most important of the universal values. Satyam. We know Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Nabruyat, Satyam Apriyam. One must speak the truth, and the truth also must be pleasing truth. And one should not tell lie even if it is pleasing. So to Satyatyam. Satyam has come from Bhagavan. All values also come from Bhagavan only. Satyam stands for all universal values. Then Brahmacharyam. Oh, Brahmacharyam means, Brahmacharya means living a morally, being morally strong. Being morally strong is Brahmacharyam. Being, having a strong morality is Brahmacharya, means maintaining one's sexual morality. One must be highly moral sexually. That is Brahmacharyam. Not simply get, not remaining unmarried does not make a Brahmachari. Following the discipline strictly makes a person Brahmachari. So Brahmacharyam. Then Vidhi. So Brahmacharyam, that is where is ashrama. And Shastram helps a person, as teaches what is this life for. As a Brahmachari, a person is individual, is prepared. Then he's with his Purushartha Nischaya, with his goals very clear, having his clear the goals in life, and with knowing the value of Dharma, and he knows how much he must indulge in everything. That is how the person, the understanding as a mature individual, the person enters into the Grihastha Ashrama. And he lives his life without going against the nature. So without going against the nature, living one's life in tune with the nature, at the same time having moderation in everything, without getting too over and without indulging into preventing oneself from overindulgence, taking care of one's involvement in everything with moderation. Then the person lives his Grihastashrama life and he learns, he enjoys, he also moves out of Grihastashrama life as a much more mature individual. And he becomes much more individual, he moves into another ashrama, and as a jnani, he becomes the most mature individual. Therefore, this brahmacharyam. Then finally, vidhihi. Vidhihi means, see, in Sanskrit grammar, the word vidhihi has a different meaning. But here, vidhihi. Vidhihi literally means always rule. Niyamaha. But here, vidhihi means Vedic injunctions. Or vidhihi. Vidivakyani. Vedic injunctions means the instructions of the Veda Shastram. All the instructions, okay, what should be done, what should not be done, these instructions also have come from Veda Shastra Bhagavan. So we say, no, Kalunjam Nabunjita Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara Kalunjam Nabunjita. Okay, speak the truth, follow Dharma. May you not give up your duties and give wholeheartedly. Don't eat meat. All these are instructions. Okay, vidhi. So, all these instructions also, all these do's and don'ts, commandments also, have come from Bhagavan. Vidhi. Which means, everything has come from Bhagavan only. So, let us remember, so Bhagavan has brought everything into existence. Means, everything, yeah, all this have come into existence from Bhagavan. The Srishti continues in the following mantra also. Does read the mantra? Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. It's a very beautiful mantra. We'll see tomorrow the meaning, okay? Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Saptarchisha samidha sapta homaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti. Prana guha shaya nihita sapta sapta. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Sapta prana prabhavanti tasmat. Sapta archishas samidhas sapta homaha. Sapta archishas samidhas sapta homaha. Sapta ime loka yeshu charanti prana guha shaya nihita sapta 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 prana prabhavanti tasmat sapta archishas samidhas sapta homaha sapta archishas samidhas sapta homaha sapta ime loka yeshu charanti prana guha shaya nihita sapta sapta. Okay. So, the topic of Srishti continues, has not yet ended. Now, in the following mantra, Upanishad states, all the sense organs have come from Bhagavan. All the objects of sense organs also have come from Bhagavan. And in the very perception of objects through sense organs have come from Bhagavan. And in this Upanishad, in this mantra, the perception of sense objects itself is presented beautifully as a yajna. Okay? How to see every day? See, living in this world itself is a yajna. If you perceive the objects in the world, get up in the morning, you perceive an object. Perceiving an object is what? Perception of any object itself is a yajna. is a ritual. It's a form of ritual. And Upanishad is going to present it, you know, is going to say, you know, the physical part, let me tell you today a little bit. The physical part where sense organs are known as Golakani. We have 5 sense organs, 5 subtle powers, 5 subtle powers, which are not part of the physical body. The subtle powers are distinct from the gross physical body, gross physical parts. Now, seeing power in the eyes, we have 2 eyes. Therefore, 2 eyes, the 2 physical parts are there. And there we have seeing powers. The seeing powers are indriyani. And the 2 physical parts with the eyelid, eyeball, eyelid, etc. This eye physical part of the physical body is called golakam. Indriyam and golakam. Similarly, we have ear is a golakam. We have a hearing power is indriyam. Nose is a golakam. The power of smelling is indriyam. Tongue is a golakam, which is a part of the physical body. The power of taste in the tongue is what? Indriyam. Indriyam is distinct from the gross physical part known as golakam. We have pancha golakani, pancha indriyani, 5 subtle sense powers, imperceptible subtle powers, which are part of the subtle body, are there in these 5 physical parts known as golakani. But Upanishad says sapta, it counts one extra. We have 2 golakams. For power of hearing, we have 2 golakams. And the 2 eyes, the Upanishad says 7. And the 7 physical parts are looked upon as 7 agnikundas. Then the fireplaces. The 7 physical parts are seen as 7 fireplaces. And the 7 subtle powers are looked upon as 7 agnis, 7 fires. And the perception is like a performance of a ritual. How is it? That we will see tomorrow. Thank God we have following class tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll see. And how perception is beautifully presented as a yajna we'll see. Anyway, don't forget, we are still seeing the Srishti Prakriya of this Upanishad. Okay. And what exactly we have to understand finally, that also tomorrow I'll tell you. Okay. When you complete the mantras pertaining to Srishti Prakriya, when they end, then I'll explain to you. Is it all right? Okay. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.